watch your people as they cry. Send the rain. Lord, send the rain. Send the rain.
Good morning. Thank you, Sandy. Don't try and get on the back of her coattails. Good morning. Welcome. Hello. Nice to see you. And all that stuff. Notices for this week are as follows. Warm Hub, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do come in if you can. You never know who's going to turn up and what's going to happen. Friday was interesting. We were panicking because we didn't have many people to help. And we had probably one of our best. Some of the stuff, the conversations that went on were incredible. So do keep praying, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, between 9 and 1. Prayer meeting on Monday, 2 till 4. It's important we really lay hold of God and pray and be together. So, life group on Wednesday is at 7 o'clock. At the moment, we're not planning one on Thursday because Jeff is still in hospital. Food bank on Friday. Do keep praying about it. We are having incredible conversations where people are opening up about really personal and deep issues. And let's be honest, to them we're strangers. And yet they're starting to share incredible stories. So do pray about food bank. Jesus always said, whatever you do to the least of these, you're doing it to me. So every time we have a chat with someone, we're chatting to Jesus. Isn't that good? I think it's good. Unfortunately, last week, I have to say, I gave you some false information in that our mission boxes, over the last year, we'd raised £750. However, that's been changed because we've had an anonymous donation, which now means that 2022, our missions boxes, we gave £1,000. Isn't that exciting? Boy, the excitement levels, I can feel it rising. And we said this year, last year, some people, rather than do Christmas cards to everybody, they did one Christmas card to the church and made a donation to Off the Fence, so we've been able to send £55 to Off the Fence. And for those who don't know, that's a homeless charity that works in Brighton. And if you want to see some of what they do, go upstairs, because I think we've got about 100 or 200 sleeping bags up there. Every time I go up there, there seems to be more sleeping bags. So I'm going to move out my flat and just sleep up there. Roofers were in. That roof has been repaired. And they've half done the big leak here. So hopefully on Monday that will be finished. That's good, isn't it? Do you know you got more excited about the roof leaking than... Let's sing a hymn. Let's see what God wants to do this morning. Because that's the important thing, isn't it? We come here to meet with God. We come here to come into His presence. And it's an opportunity to stop and just ask God to meet with us. And spend time just with Him. So let's stand, stretch your legs, and let's see what happens. Thank you, Graham.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a
take your seat. That's a way to start in the morning, wake you all up, clear out some of the cobwebs, eh? But what a beautiful day! Don't you find just the fact the sun's shining and your spirit lifts? And that song's all about the joy that's all around us, the birds and the plants and nature. I always find it fascinating that man builds these incredible buildings, but if you leave them alone for 5 minutes, plants start to grow. You go on a roof or in a gutter and up they come. Because no matter what man does, God's creation is far greater. It's like, isn't it, when they build these walls to stop the sea. And after a while, God says, "Your wall fell down." That's just me being mischievous, perhaps. But however many times man says it's our world, the glory of the world just says it's his. If you've got a Bible, I'd like you to look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 33. And if you haven't got a Bible, it's still Luke chapter 5 and verse 33. In fact, the only thing you need to know is it's Luke chapter 5 and verse 33. You know, in the old days when the cowboys were coming home late and perhaps it was getting dark, they used to hang a light on their saddle to see by. That's the first case of satellite navigation. Luke 5:33. They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray. So do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast." He told them this parable: "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it onto an old one. If he does, he'll have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into a new wineskin. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says the old is better." Thanks, Graham.
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead. My faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and
easy as we go through life to let things harden our hearts. And we have to keep coming back to the presence of Father God and say, keep us soft. Help us to deal with issues so that we can be free in you. So we're going to take some time just to worship, to come into God's presence. No agenda, no prayers, just soaking in his presence and letting God speak to us and us loving him. I go round to see Jonah, and I open the door and walk in, and immediately wherever he is, he runs to see me. And he's thrilled to see me. That's good, isn't it? But I love it when he runs to me. And I have a hug. And do you know what God says? He says, come unto me. You that are burdened, you that are laden, come unto me. And God loves it when we just come to him. Not by anybody else, just we come to him and tell him how we feel. This is a personal time. So we're going to worship, we'll play some songs, be comfortable to stand, sit, kneel, lay on the floor, jump off the ceiling. Do what's right for you to be in the presence of God. Thank you, Graham.
Again.
Holy, Lord, you are God Almighty.
Keep singing. Lord, I thank you for your glory and your presence here. Fill this house with your glory. Touch us tonight. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Possess us and have us, Lord. Lift our eyes from this world to look at you and you alone.
To believe enough to come with open hands before Father God. Take off the
yes,
hurts,
Lord.
The religion. Take off the fear. And have the courage to come and say, Father God, I want to meet you right now. No agenda. I need you for me. So I will make a decision to come and stand before. before you,
wait there for a moment.
Because wait. I want to know my Father again.
Shh. I stand in awe of you.
I don't want to know church or religion. Or I just want to know you.
Sing it, everyone.
I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due,
I stand
in awe of you.
Lift your voices and sing that again.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you.
Holy God,
to whom
all praise is due.
All praise is due.
I stand
in awe of you.
Everyone now, everyone together, I stand. Tonight, just lift your voice and just sing in the Spirit very softly, but very softly, but very softly. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. Everybody in one accord, very softly, very softly. It's not a time to call out now, just minister to the Lord. Everyone together. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. Marvelous for words. Wonderful for comprehension, every voice. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Your infinite wisdom. Who can fathom the depths of your love? Feel the Lord now. You are beautiful.
You are beautiful beyond description.
Majesty.
Majesty enthroned above.
I stand in awe. description. Marvelous for words. Close your eyes and sing it. Sing it to the Lord. Too wonderful. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Fathom. Sing it, sing it. The depths of your love. You're beautiful. Description. Majesty.
That the Lord is saying, no, I don't just sense, He is saying, the word absorb. Like when you take tablets and pills, medication, you need water, liquid, for your body to absorb it. He's saying, absorb my love. The water is here for you. To absorb my love. Receive it. Take it in. Take it in. Take it in. receive it. Receive my love because I am what you need.
Take a moment just now and receive. So often we miss what God wants to do because we don't ask and because we don't open ourselves to receive. God's up to something. Just going to sing one more song and then we're going to come to the word. Thank you, Graham.
So
So many people get worried by intimate worship. They, oh gosh. And yet, the whole of the gospel is about intimacy. Jesus didn't say, I've come because it's the only answer. He said, I've come because I love you. Jesus didn't come begrudgingly as a job or a duty. He came because he loved us so much. And the language of Scripture isn't about logic. It's about passion. So the church isn't called the workhorse of God. The church is called the bridegroom. The bride, sorry. The bride. That's intimate. That's passionate. Because when you decide to get married, it's because you want to spend the rest of your life with that person. And the image of worship is about spending time with the person you want to spend your life with. It's intimate. It's relationship. It's very personal. And people get scared where it's all a bit, yeah, let's make God religiously boring. Let's make God the God who thunders and the God who smites and condemns. And duty and service. But Scripture teaches about a God who loved us so much. A God who was desperate for that intimate relationship. And part of our problem in our world today is we haven't taught love. We've taught duty, responsibility, service, performance, and all those things. But what should be underneath it all, first of all, should be love. Unconditional love. And God says, come and spend some time with me. I have a game I play with Jonah. Jonah has a particular bunny called Bun Bun. And at night, Jonah sleeps with Bun Bun. And even in his sleep, he reaches out and grabs Bun Bun. That's his Bun Bun. But when I go there, he goes to get Bun Bun. And I steal Bun Bun. And I say, my Bun Bun. And he chases around after me and he grabs Bun Bun. But now I chase after him, saying, give me my Bun Bun. And we chase each other. We run to each other. And you say, what a silly game. Sometimes we sing about running to God because God just wants us to enjoy knowing what it is to have a proper daddy. And when we have that relationship, God loves to play at times. Did you know God plays? He's a daddy. God whistles, God sings, God dances. It's all in Scripture. And sometimes God says, you're so busy trying to be mature. I've never learned to be mature, by the way. I'll do that one day. God says, don't worry about being mature. Come and have fun. And you know, when you have fun with God, stuff happens. Intimate. The passage we read started off by talking about fasting. And I think fasting is one of those nonsenses. Because we get it all so religiously wrong. Now I want to give you a scenario, okay? As you may or may not have noticed, I have the body of a racing snake. I may just have swallowed a gazelle, but I have the body of a racing snake, okay? I cherish food, as you can see. Now, if you tell me I've got to go and sit in a room and not eat, after about half an hour, the only thought in my mind is, what can I eat? You know, is there a chair leg I can chew on? And if you say to me, you must fast, well, I'm just going to sit there for the whole time thinking, I'm flipping hungry. I'm not focused on God, I'm focused on my belly. So forget the prayer, Lark. My only prayer when I'm fasting would be, Lord, I'm hungry. Can I get this over with because I'm still hungry? don't believe that honours anybody. Do you? But what I find is if I'm doing something I'm really enjoying, I don't worry about missing a meal. Anyone else had that? Young couples, when they first walking out together, holding hands. There was a couple yesterday morning. The rain yesterday was horrible. And there was a young couple, and they obviously got an hour together. And they were just enjoying holding hands in the teeming rain. And I thought, I must be getting old, so I thought I'd rather be by the fire with my slippers on. But they weren't worried about what else. They just wanted to be together. And I believe we're so busy telling people, you should fast. What we should be teaching them is to fall in love. Because fasting will come naturally. Because I want to spend time with Father. And we don't say, gosh, I've fasted for an hour, I'm going to get a double portion of food. We say, I'm just spending time with Father. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. And so we put fasting onto people as a task. But you find, as we looked at last week, Jesus time and again would disappear. Just wanted to be with Father. They'd say, but Lord, you haven't eaten. He says, oh, I don't care about that. I'm with Daddy. And perhaps maybe we would be able to fast better if we started by getting to know Jesus better. And enjoying spending time with him, not being forced. See, I've discovered with Jonah that if I force him to do something, he won't do it. But he'll do it when he wants to. And maybe fasting, we've got it wrong because we try to impose something that isn't natural. Because so many things we do in Scripture is from Victorian times. And Victorians were all about duty and rigidity and stiff upper lip and religious rightness and blah, 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 blah. And we still do that today. And we forgot that Scripture is all about relationship. And so God says, I'm going to do a new thing. And we say, well, we don't like new things. Can we go back to the way things were? And everybody in Scripture and church today, we try to put God back into a box. And God says, I don't fit that box anymore. So, in the passage we read, they came to him and they said, Jesus, John's disciples fasted. The Pharisees' disciples fasted. Why aren't your disciples fasting? Do things our way. And all the way through Jesus' ministry, they kept doing it. How dare you eat with tax collectors and drinkers and prostitutes? Don't you know if you're going to be a serious religious leader, you've got to be upper middle class? And Jesus, how could you say you can forgive sins? Surely you know no one can do that. Can you fit into our box, please? And Jesus, surely you know it's bad for your disciples to eat some corn on a Sunday? Can you please fit into our box? And Lord God, don't you know that our services go for 1 hour? We have 4 hymns, 2 prayers, 2 readings. 10-minute sermon, finish at 11:59, job done. Don't you know that's our box? And God says, no. I don't want to be in a box of religious rightness. I want to be in a relationship. And relationship means things get messy. If you ever watch my grandson eat, you'll know what messy means. He hasn't worked out things like plates and spoons. So Justin gives him the plate and the spoon. And he takes the spoon and throws that down. Not interested in that. Rice he had yesterday. Do you know what he does when he's had enough? Rice everywhere. And Justin gave him something else. She said, do you want some of this? Nope. And so we've got a nice field of mess. And Jonah says, finished. But you see, that's what we try and do with God and with fasting and so on. We say, we've got to make you fit the box. But God's doing a new thing. And in doing a new thing, he's going to break some of the things in the box. And maybe if we stop being bound under the Victorian principles, we would enjoy being with God more. And if we enjoyed being with God more, we'd actually want to fast because we'd naturally do it. I find, I don't know about you, but I find if I'm doing something I'm enjoying and I'm busy, I can go all day without eating. Anyone? But when you've got nothing to do, or you're bored, how long before you get hungry? About 10 minutes you're in front of the computer, you think, oh, I could do with a biscuit or something. That biscuit didn't satisfy, but... And suddenly you're distracted. Is that not true? Maybe if we were more in love with God, things would happen naturally that we try and force on people. So we talk about fasting. You see, so many denominations exist because church didn't like the move of God. And aren't you always amazed how many Christians are defensive of their church but not defensive of their relationship with God? How many churches say, that's the way we do it. And they don't say, that's the way he wants us to do it. I went to visit someone the other day. Not anyone from the church. You're all safe. But this person committed a cardinal sin. And this person didn't think I'd know, but I know. She stirred my tea with her coffee spoon. Mark 16, if you drink any poisonous thing, it shall not harm you. Well, it very nearly harmed her settee. Defensive about what we do causes us to get in the way of God. Defensive about his presence causes us to break things. You can't do that. That's been here for 100 years. Well, maybe you should have burned it 100 years ago. And before you think I'm joking, I once got a letter from a minister because I stood on a chair. Stood on a chair, Sandy. But that chair had been given by Aunt Edna 50 years ago. And I disrespected her by standing on a chair. And you think, it was a 3-page letter. How I'd never make it in the ministry if I showed such disrespect to a chair. Do you know they never invited me back for some reason? I bet they've still got the flipping chair. What are we building? Are we building a religion or a relationship? What are we defending? Church? Or our relationship with our Father God? So Jesus takes them through a couple of illustrations. We're going to look at them quickly. Number one, Jesus said about fasting and praying. And just as a footnote, how much do you want to be with God? Because when you want to be with God, you'll forget about fooding because you just want to be there. Fooding? That's the difference between food and feeding. It becomes fooding, alright? It's a new word. It'll be in the dictionary next week for you. But then Jesus says, don't wreck the new things to try and keep going what's old. He said, if you've got a pair of trousers or something, and they're old and they're ripped, you don't tear a patch off a new cloth to repair your old trousers because it'll just rip even more. I've got a pair of jeans at home. They are the most comfortable jeans. I've had them 12 years and they're lovely. But they are so thin and old that when you sew up the hole, it rips around the hole. And I've got rips now that go right across. I look very fashionable. People pay hundreds of pounds for these jeans. I've got them for nothing. No point patching them anymore because the fabric just rips. And all that's happening is they're falling apart. But if I take my brand new pair of jeans and I tear a patch off that to repair my old pair of jeans, now I've got two useless pairs of jeans. None of us would do that, would we? Except when it comes to church. Because what we do is we say, let's take the new things of God and use them to keep going the way we've always done it hundreds of years ago. And God says, I'm doing a new thing. And we say, hallelujah, God, but do your new thing this way. There's a church. There's a move of God going on. There was a church. And they said to the minister, how do you know you've got a move of God going on in your church? He said, ha-ha, we know. Because with the new move of God, we managed to move the organ 6 inches. Why is that? He said, well, there was a pillar in the way, so the pianist and the organist couldn't see each other. So the music wasn't always in harmony because neither one knew which... Okay. So neither was willing to move 6 inches so they could see each other. So in the new move of God, one of them moved 6 inches. Do you know what? That's not a new move of God. That's corrupting what God's doing. What you should have done is sorted out the relationship and the issues you have between you, not force the new move of God to manipulate someone to maintain what you've already had going on. This isn't yesterday, last week, last month. I don't want to go back to last year. Anybody else want to go back to 2022? Oh, why don't we go back to 2020 and we can enjoy COVID again? In fact, why don't we use all that God is doing nowadays? Why don't we use our freedom to get ready to do COVID again? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Of course not. And, excuse me saying this, being blunt here, if your church is failing, how about recognising you've got it wrong, rather than trying to take a patch off what God is doing to patch up the fact your church is failing? That was harsh, wasn't it? Sandy's hot. But you see what I'm saying? Do we want God the way He is or the way we want Him? We do it with sportsmen. How many times do sportsmen get to the end of their career and we keep on watching them play for England or something, and although they're not as good anymore, we think back to the old days and we want them to keep producing what they used to do. But they're too old now. You know, Jeff Hurst may have scored the winning goals in the 1966 World Cup, but Jeff Hurst is in his 70s. I can't say, Jeff, come and play for England again. We need you to score another hat trick. He can hardly walk. He's got two artificial hips and all that. It's a new day. There are new players, and they're playing football in a different way. Jesus said, don't take the new things and try and keep going what's gone. And the Jews said, but Jesus, in the old days, he said, no. This is a new day. And are you enough in relationship with God to walk into the new day and enjoy what He's doing? See, last year, year before, Sue entered a new day. She moved from Dartford down to Shum. That was a new day, wasn't it? Now, Sue didn't say, let's buy a property down here so we can keep on the property up in Dartford and keep going back. It's a new day. It's a new adventure. Is that right? You can't go back. If you go back now, it won't be the same anymore. Things would have changed. I left Norfolk when I was 17, 16. I went back a year later, but my friends had changed. It was no longer the same. We'd gone in different directions. And I wanted to go back and have it the way I remembered it. Anyone else experience that? But it wasn't the way I remembered it, because it had moved on. And Jesus said, don't take a patch of the new and try and put it on the old. Embrace the new. Receive the new, because something good's going to happen. Is that exciting? English. You see, Jesus was told, they admired Jesus, and the next thing, they told him how to behave. Christians, Christian Jews embraced the gospel and then said, Lord, I think you should circumcise all those people who've become Christians. Let's impose the old onto the new. Lord, they should do it this way. Lord, you should do it that way. And Jesus said, no, this is a new day. Where are we going? So then he says, don't pour new wine into old wineskins. Don't pour the new Holy Spirit into hearts that are hard and rigid. None of us would have that, would we? Well, there's a faith statement. God wants to do something new. God's looking for hearts that are ready to receive something new. And that's easy. We've all got good flesh hearts, haven't we? We're all ready for this. You don't feel very convincing at the moment. The trouble is we keep all the baggage from the past. And it stops our heart from being supple. We take that unforgiveness and that rejection and that failure and that fear and that bitterness and that anger, and we keep those things in our hearts. And God comes along with a new wine and he says, but I can't pour it into you, because you've got these things that are making your heart dry and rigid, unreceiving. And God says, I want to give you a new spirit. I want to give you things that you've never dreamed of. But you've got to have the courage to get your heart sorted out. That's tough, isn't it? Because I quite like passing the buck to other people, don't you? I quite like it when something goes wrong and I can say, well, it wasn't my fault, it was Sandy's fault. Or Joan's fault. See, if Joan hadn't come in early this morning, it would have been very different. It's down to Joan, really. I'm good at that. I'm not so good at saying I've got a problem in me. I had somebody speak to me this week and I asked them a specific question and they said, don't go there. Okay, now we know there's a heart problem. And this person will be saying very soon, why don't I receive like other people? Because you told me not to go there. See the problem? You see, if I'm bitter about something, I'm not going to let you come in because you might hurt me again. And I'm jealous. Jealous of Jeannie. So I don't want to receive anything from her because I've got a problem. Because I'm jealous, I want to shoot her down. I can't receive from God. And that hurt when I was a child that I've carried all these years. Means I can't receive. My heart's gone hard. And for too many years, in too many churches, in too many ways, we've said, it's okay. Well, guess what? It isn't okay. Churches have said, why don't we receive from God? Why can't we get things from God? Because you're still carrying stuff you should have got rid of way back when. We've become an old wineskin. individually and as churches, we got really stiff. We got unbending. We can't be flexible because you might find out that thing I don't want you to know. We can't be bending because it might hurt me again. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to give an inch. I'm going to become rigid. And the Holy Spirit is always moving. He's always on the go. And if your heart is rigid, he can't pour into you, because if he does, it split your heart open. But I don't want to talk about those things. That's okay. But God can't give you all that you want until you get rid of it. My mother-in-law used to be a fantastic cook. Probably still is. But she used to be a brilliant cook. And when I was working as a landscape gardener, if I was close by, I would go there for either lunch or for evening meal. Saved me cooking when I got home. So went to mother-in-law's one day. Now, she was a brilliant cook. And I knew that this particular night, we were going to have a fondue. Proper fondue. Anyone like fondues? Okay, I mean, this was the business. There was one problem with this fondue. Did I want to receive it? Absolutely. Did she want to give it to me? Absolutely. There was one small problem in the way. I'd been shoveling manure all day. And I have to tell you, I was covered in manure. From head to toe. And my mother-in-law said, I want you to come and enjoy this fondue. I said, I want to come and enjoy this fondue. My mother-in-law says, but I'm going to hose you down in the garden first. Now, if you've ever been in Switzerland, in late November, in your underwear, outside being hosed down with cold water, let me tell you, that's not an experience you look forward to. But I needed to deal with an issue because I wanted the reward of that fondue. God is wanting us to receive more of the Holy Spirit. Not just as a church, because that's easy, isn't it? As a church we can receive in. But God's saying, I want to give it to you as individuals. I want you to start prophesying, speaking in tongues, healing people, raising the dead, whatever. It's individually now, not church. It's not relying on the minister. It's relying on each other. And God says, I want to give you more. But I need to break your heart, because I need to heal you. Jesus said there's beautiful new wine, a new move. It's going to be exciting. And as it grows and develops, it'll become a beautiful old wine, and everybody will want to drink from it. Let me tell you something. Many people don't want to drink from the church because they don't like the flavour. Because what we have is contaminated by the stuff we hold on to. And so God says, I need you to soften your heart because I want to give you a new wine that's going to change the world. Anyone up for that? Boy, if you got any more enthusiastic, we'd have to tie you all down. There's only one thing going to change this world. There's only one thing going to change this area. That's you and me saying we're going to deal with these heart issues. Will it be painful? Yep. Will it be worth it? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You see, I want to start being mischievous. Anyone else here like being mischievous? Good. See, I want... Well, can you imagine, right? You go to the intensive care unit in hospital. And you just walk round and you go, in the name of Jesus, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. And they all get up and walk out their beds. And then you leave. Don't say anything. Can anyone else enjoy doing that? Boy, just imagine the surgeons. There's a group of kids did that in Russia a few years ago. They were Christians in their early teens, and they went into the hospital, and they went round the ward, and they healed everybody that was in the ward. Is that good? Do you know what they did next? They went back to playing football outside. And they said, why did you stop? Well, we thought we were going to play football. See, this is the relationship God wants us to have, which is much more than we've ever known. This is the new wine. Are you flexible? Well, Christians shouldn't play football after they've healed people. They should spend 20 years on their knees. Why? 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 You see, we've got to get out of this Victorian rigidity of old-style religion, and we've got to break into what the gospel tells us about Jesus. And that says it's fun and it's alive and it's going to be different and it's going to stretch us and it's going to pull us. And that's why we've got to have flexible hearts, isn't it, Maggie? Yes, Peter. Thank you. Do you know she said that without moving her lips? That's very clever. See, we've got to get excited about this. Jesus said, it's time you soften your heart. It's time you admit you've got a problem. It's time you come to God, to someone, and say, help me. I want my heart healed. I was rejected. I was hurt. I was wounded. I was let down. Maybe I was abandoned. I was insulted. I was attacked. I don't know what your issue is. But I know we have to deal with our issues because God wants to do something exciting. And we'll have some fun along the way. Are you ready for an adventure? Are you sure? Because it's going to start with some open heart surgery. You see, we all can put a face on it, can't we? Yeah? Put our makeup on. Set our hair. This is the men I'm talking about. Yeah? Special perfume. And we can come to church and we can look absolutely great. But we can still go home and carry the same hurt and rejection and wound that we brought in with us. Or we start to deal with it. And it starts by coming to God and saying, Father God, if there's anything in my heart that stops me from knowing and receiving and seeing all that you have for me, here's the tough bit of the prayer. I give you, Father, permission to bring it up into the light so I can deal with it. It's a scary prayer, isn't it? But that's where we start from. Because I want to be at the centre of what God's doing. Anyone? I want to be there. I want to be in the excitement. I want to have the fun. I want to know. And so God is raising a challenge for you and for me and saying, you ready? You up for this? It's going to be the scariest, funnest. Is funnest a word? Sounded good. The scariest, most fun, most exciting, most daunting, most thrilling ride you'll ever go on. But you will see men and women restored to God. You'll see the sick healed. And if you're lucky, you walk on water. And you can join me as we overtake the cross-channel ferry. I'd love to do it. What I want to do, right? I've been thinking about this because I'm very sad. I want to get one of those, I want to get an inflatable bus stop thing. And I want to take it with me. And I want to walk halfway across the channel. And I want to stand by this bus stop and go like this as the boats go by. A A Methodist minister, a Baptist minister, and a Pentecostal minister went fishing one day. And the Methodist minister got his hook caught the other side. So he prayed, and he walked across the water, unhooked his hook and came back. That's good. A bit later, Baptist hooks his hook the other side. Prays, walks on the water, unhooks it, comes back. A bit later, the Pentecostal hooks his hook. And he thinks, well, I can't let the side down. So he prays, walks, sinks. Gets out the water. Thinks, I didn't pray hard enough. So he prays even harder. Steps on the water, sinks. After he's done this a couple of times, the Baptist turns to the Methodist and say, should we tell him where the stepping stones are? You see, God didn't say, I've come that you might have a life that's tolerable. And God didn't say, I've come that you will exist. He said, I've come that you will have a life that you will enjoy to the full. Anyone else feel like they've missed out on a lot? It's a new day. There's a new wine. God, make our hearts ready to receive what you're going to give us, because it's probably going to blow our socks off. And for those who haven't got socks on, you better start wearing them. And so we're going to sing a song. And this, we're going to do two songs. The first song is a prayer. So I'd suggest you stay seated for the first song. And just make this your prayer. And then we'll stand for our closing song, hymn, whatever. Let's just pray. Father, thanks that you never give up on us. Lord, we have messed up so many times. We've got so many issues that we haven't dealt with. And you've never given up on us. Thank you. Now, Father, we come before you with perhaps fear and trembling and say, Lord, create a new heart. Create a new wineskin that can receive all that you have for us. Father, meet with us. Change us. Renew us. But make us your people fit for you. And then keep coming, please, Holy Spirit. Overwhelm us with your love. Amen. Thank you, Graham. Make this your prayer.
Spirit within me, and renew a
lost in your presence, lost in your love. Finish the work in us that we can receive all that you have for us. Lord, be with us through the next few days. Guard us, guide us, protect us. But Lord, let us be ever more conscious of your filling, your infilling, and your overflowing with your presence and your love. So be with us, Lord, until we can meet again. We ask it for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen.